Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my friends. It is time once again for America's Most Haunted, and we have another rip-roaring show for you this evening. We have the God and Goddess of EVPs, Mark and Debbie Constantino. You've seen them on, I don't know, every show that there is, sharing their EVP expertise. Teresa, hello?
I'm here. Welcome to America's Most Haunted. Tonight, we are honored to have Mark and Debbie Constantino. The paranormal field is filled with people who call themselves expert, but these two are the real deal, and they're a husband and wife team. They've made a name for themselves with their work in electronic voice phenomenon. They're paranormal researchers who have pioneered the study of afterlife communication using EVP, and they're definitely the go-to couple when it comes to capturing and recording spirit voices with audio recording devices. Mark is a certified parapsychologist, and Debbie is a multifaceted sensitive with the ability to see, hear, and feel spirits. We are honored to have them. If you've seen them on Ghost Adventures, Paranormal Challenge, Paranormal State, Dead Famous, they're always at conferences. They do interactive, real-time EVP communication techniques in group settings, and I've seen it. It's awesome. Welcome, Mark and Debbie Constantino.
Well, thank you.
How you doing, guys?
And not for nothing, not only am I a goddess, but I'm also a certified parapsychologist.
Of course. I just get my love the goddess two titles in Mark 1.
Mother of Pearl.
And she also has the ability to be a major pain in the ass.
Oh,
so.
Here we go. It's in our show, Mark. Let's roll. So how are you guys doing?
We're doing great. We're doing really well. I tell you, I've been at this for a while, and the radio thing is relatively new, but the paranormal field, I've watched it grow, as I'm sure you have over the years, but and we've met a ton of people. I've met thousands of people. I've met a lot of people in the business. I have never met a husband and wife team until I met the two of you. I've met mother and daughter. I've met mother and son. I've met sisters. Never met a husband and wife team that work together like the two of you do. And I tell you, if the paranormal thing ever goes belly up, you guys can take your show on the road as a comedic act because the two of you interacting is wonderful.
But it's funny you say that because everyone thinks it's so hilarious and everything, but it's real. And, you know, we're on the plane, and I'm like, why did you say that? And, da-da-da. And then we get home, and we have more drama. And a lot of people enjoy it, but seriously, like, that's why I Google all these Buddhist things. It's like I got to stay focused and centered, you know. If you ever told me I'm going there with 200 people, now I'm basically a loner, you know, and to go there in front of 200 people, and then you have your, you know, little paranormal chicks, and then you have your quote-unquote naive husband. I mean, it's a rough life on the road,
Let
me tell you. So
we're
very, very, very blessed, and I don't want to sound like I'm complaining.
No, we are. We're just the kind of people that if we have something to say to one another, we say it. You know, good, bad, or indifferent, whether we're alone or whether we're in front of a group of 100 people.
And it comes across genuine.
That's a Jersey thing or whatever.
Oh,
but
God.
We say what we need to say no matter who's around. So.
But that's what makes it so appealing. You come across as real people, and a lot of these people, especially at the big events, you've done a number of these big events, When people see you, they see you interacting like a real couple. You're not putting on airs. You are approachable, and you come across as real people. And I think that's what really makes you so appealing to people, is you don't become standoffish. But it is, you have to admit, it is unusual to see a husband and wife team. My husband wouldn't be caught dead at a paranormal conference with me. First of all, he thinks I'm nuts.
Right.
Besides the fact that I believe in ghosts, he thinks I'm nuts anyway. But, I mean, I think it's blessed that you found each other and you both share the same passion and you have the same interests. I mean, my husband and I, except for our kids, I don't know what the hell we have in common sometimes.
Well, there you go. Yeah. It's like the only thing we have in common are ghosts. We both experienced it, but yeah, it is. It's a blessing in disguise, and I mean, we get to travel. I'm one of those people that look at the cup as half full. Mark kind of always, you know, he could win the lottery tomorrow and say, "Oh my God, now I have
the taxes. I got to pay all those taxes."
Exactly. You know, and it's like, you know, you got to be grateful. The more grateful you are, the more abundance you get and the more you can give, you know. And I don't know. I just feel so blessed to be out there. And I think anybody that's, you know, I think most people that have really arrived in this field are not standoffish at all. I think they're some of the best people in the field. I mean, we've even met actors that, Lord knows, I haven't even known how famous they were until I Googled them, that we've worked with, that get amazing stuff. And I don't think it's about, you know, what show you have or what you've been on or any of that. I think, not, you know, the paranormal field has to do with the passion involved. And, you know, once you get, even psychics, once you get to where you think you got it down, that gift can be taken away at any time. So, you know, if we get like that, just, you know, take like a, like we're Walking Dead, just shoot us or something in the head.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think there's certain people in the field that kind of let ego get in the way. But
well, that's every field, though.
Well, yeah, no, but we're talking about the paranormal. But that's, yeah, no, that's not Debbie and I. I mean, we realize that we are blessed. I mean, when we started doing this and when we started focusing our attention on EVP, I mean, we had absolutely no intention or desire or
I always had a desire to go to these places, but he was always like,
that's
not
what I'm talking.
No, but
Deb, that's not what I'm talking.
I understand that, but I always wanted it. There's the Stanley. Oh, we can't afford it. Oh, da 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 da. And it's really weird how the cosmos, you know, if it's your path, pave the way, you know, if you're doing the right things.
Right.
That's my point.
All, fine. Now I can finish mine.
You could try.
All I was saying is when we started, like I said, focusing on EVP, I mean, we had no intention, no desire, no, you know, visions of grandeur to end up where we are right now, being so blessed, being fortunate enough to, you know, be invited on television shows and be invited to all these conferences. I mean, that stuff never, ever, ever entered our mind. And it's
and that's probably why it happened.
Probably because, you know, and like I say this a lot, you know, people are like, you know, you guys are leading the way and you're blah, blah, blah. And I tell them, I said, you know, we're really not. You know, it's the spirits or the ghosts or whatever you want to call them that are really doing the heavy lifting. I mean, yeah, we have shown a passion for the paranormal and for EVP, but, you know, basically we're holding our recorders out asking questions, and they're doing the heavy work by bringing the voices forward to us.
You know, and I think it's a matter of them trusting us. They follow you home. I think most of us know that. Whether or not they stay, that's another question. But I think they do see we're diligent. We do what we got to do, you know, and, you know, we don't back shelf them. We got so overloaded at one point. We're 6 years behind the recordings, but at least now we have a plan. You know, I talk to them during the day. I'm like, look, I'm really sorry I didn't get to do this today, but you see I'm doing this in order to get to this. And, you know, they see that, and they see where your soul's coming from. You know, we're not trying for the – well, of course, who doesn't want a Class A? But we're not trying for that. We're trying for the conversation. We're trying to know, you know, what we can do here to help you, what it's like to be dead. You know, is it painful? Like, you know, questions that can help not only them, but us to prepare.
When you say it's so matter of fact, you know, it's so conversational. Was there ever a point in time where this seemed really strange to you?
Well, as a kid, I mean, I was scared to death as a kid. And, I mean, when I was a kid, I was an only child living, well, I say this all the time, my backyard backed up to a cemetery. The only thing that separated me from my father's grave was a chain-link fence. I mean, I could actually stand in my backyard and see his grave. The house was so, so haunted. And for a kid back in the day when, you know, you had channels 2, 4, 7, 11, you didn't have no cable, you had no cell phones, you had no computers, you had nobody to turn to, you know, so... I mean, I couldn't even wrap my mind around it, but I knew it was real. But, you know, it was terrifying because, you know, I slept alone in this room, and outside my bedroom there were these pipes coming out of the ground for no reason. And then one day I'm watching, I think it was National Geographic, about how, like, I don't know, in New Orleans or something, they would leave pipes in graves so that the dead could continue to breathe. And that was about all I needed to hear at that point. You know? But, you know, through the years, you know, I always equate it to shedding a layer of the onion. Once you know it's real, you can deny all you want. It's real. And it only, you know, you only shed more layers through your lifetime. And I think that's why as a kid, too, and I've heard this from a lot of people, when you see them, you blink, they're gone, but you see them full-blown. But, you know, as a little kid, I wanted to, like, be a cartoon character with those toothpicks holding your eyes open because I didn't want to miss anything. You know, 6 months would go by, nothing, 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 then you'd see it. But I think, you know, in the shedding of the onion, if you equate it to that, by the time you become an adult, you've seen so much, felt so much, that when you do see them now, I mean, you can literally, I can't make them appear, or I'm not like Mike and Marty Perry or, you know, a medium to, or, okay, I'm sitting down, you sit down, okay, I'm your grandmother. But when I do see them, I'll see them walk the entire length of my backyard, you know, so I think I'm really not quite sure what my point is, but I think as you grow older and the longer you are aware, and I think that's all psychicness is being aware, you know, you become more and more and more aware. And by the same token, the more you know, the more you don't know. Because the more you think you know, the more you find out, the more you realize there's other dimensions out there that are just kind of interweaving.
Amazing. Teresa, were you going to ask something?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Debbie, you're saying that these, you have spirits in your house, and are these spirits that you believe have you've brought home with you from various investigations that you see, or is it just that you see spirits all around you at all the time?
No,
are they connected?
I wish I did. To be honest with you, I wish I could call them in all the time. There's times, I mean, we have a door slamming thing going on now. It hasn't happened for about a month, but you'll hear door slam. You'll feel the suction underneath the door of another door slam. No one else is home. And you'll usually hear two, like boom, boom, or we'll be upstairs, or we'll hear it. And, but we have vaulted ceilings. So above our family room, there's actually a roof. There's no room up there. You'll hear, like, banging and stamping up there. Sometimes you'll hear people walking on the roof. What else has happened? What happened recently? Well, this isn't huge, but it happened recently. I was what's that thing called, the shack hack? Not the SB7, but the old school, the shack hack.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm putting my makeup on, and we have the double sinks in our master bedroom. And so I have the shack hack on Mark's side, and I'm putting my makeup on in the middle, and then I have my sink. And then I'm talking, and I'm getting some responses, and Mark's sleeping. So, and I'm not taping it, so I can't prove it, but it said it. It goes, Mark is lazy. but not only that.
I didn't hear that.
No, well, of course you didn't. You were lazy. You were sleeping. But the point of it is, the interesting thing, you know, they're going back and forth here and there, little snippets. And, like, you know, with the shack hack, if I get a yeah, or, you know, you kind of got to dissuade that. A lot of times I love to record the shack hack, but the editing time is just so long.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing, I have it on his side of the sink. So I went to unplug my magnify mirror, and I put my hand on the tap. It was so hot. If I had kept my hand on there, it would have blistered. The water was not on. And then I go feel my side of the sink, and it was just normal temperature like metal would be. But it was the side the shack hack was on. And, you know, the thing runs by batteries. I don't plug it in.
Mm-hmm.
I just turn it on, you know. And there's no explanation for that. That happened.
And then also really quickly, I mean, something happened probably 25 minutes ago. I was down here, downstairs. Debbie was upstairs. I didn't know. I had my earphones in. I was listening to Pandora. And I went over into our living room, and I turned the lights on. And as soon as I turned the lights on the ceiling fan, one of the bulbs just fell out, but it wasn't the whole bulb. It was just the glass part. Just fell out of the base of the light bulb, and it started smoking. So I yelled up to Debbie, and I said, Deb, I said, come here. I want to show you something, because that that doesn't happen because the base was screwed in tightly.
Well, you know, it's
so. Go ahead.
It's a ceiling fan, and it, you know, all our sometimes you have one light that doesn't work and all that, and then you know. But I thought that was kind of weird. Plus, about a week ago.
Well, wait.
You tell them that,
but,
and then
but
I'll
you
tell.
Don't realize it was just the glass part. I had to take two needle nose pliers to unscrew the base out of it, so it wasn't loose. It wasn't anything.
Right, but the weird thing is, as he's calling me to come down, somebody, I was on Facebook, somebody, the tech, what do you call that, sent me a picture from 5 years ago of me and Nick Groff by the Wall of Faces in Bobby Mackey's. And Bobby Mackey's, I will take a souvenir from every place. I mean, I have boxes. I make John Zaffis look like an infant when it comes to this. I have so many artifacts. And I don't even know what places they're from. I have them in plastic bags. I haven't even put them up with just the names of the places. And Bobby Mackey's is one of those places I would never take anything back from. It just felt so dark, so evil. There's a whole radio show behind that whole thing. And they happened to text me that picture from 5 years ago, you know, of me and Nick at the time that this happened. And I'm going to back up a little bit, and this is, I don't even know if I should say this, but 2 weeks ago, you know, we're trying to clean finally because we're home a little bit. And he had changed the ceiling fan lights because, you know, we have puppies in the house broken, so we got to clean the carpet. So he changed out too, which is no big deal. But it was weird because they had, like, this milky kind of substance in the bulbs at different places, which I guess happens, you know, but I'm not going to name any names, but years ago I contacted somebody who I trust with my soul when it comes to the Catholic religion, and they said they did a house. This house was, I guess, had abortions in it in, before it was a home, and they had found amniotic fluid in the light fixtures.
Inside the light bulbs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that that's what it was.
Yeah.
But you know the weird thing? I was in the draw and I saved the bulbs just for a PowerPoint just in case. And then I said to myself, no, it's just a freaking bulb. So I threw the bulbs out. And within an hour, that bulb happens and I, you know, get this picture tagged. So, you know, whether or not I'm stretching, I don't know.
But it happened the exact same time. As
yeah, it was kind of weird.
As the bulb fell out and I called Debbie down, she was right in the middle of replying to that five-year-old photo that somebody sent of her at Bobby Mackey.
And the Wall of Faces. And
yeah.
That is the one place where I will tell you I wouldn't want to go. You'd have to give me a lot to go back there. I got to tell you.
You know,
we were debating.
That's one of our places that Eric and I.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, we're our book is our radio show. It's the same title, America's Most Haunted. And I picked the top 10 places. And, you know, we were going back and forth about Bobby Mackey's because by reputation it has these stories that come out of it that there's something dark there, there's something evil. And I know many people who have been down there, and it's split about 50-50 with people who say that place is the scariest place I've ever been. I never want to go back there again. And then there's the people who say, it was real quiet for me. Nothing happened. So
because those people were not in the basement.
Well, either that or it's just...
In my opinion, it's like an apartment complex. You have different people living in different apartments.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go down there by the well where Pearl lost her head, it is, you know, and you have to remember, too, we were there with Zach, Nick, and Aaron, and they are literally, if anything's anywhere, they're going to bring it out. And... Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a point where Zach was throwing his flashlight into this room where we were seeing, I was seeing a yellow figure. It was just like yellow mist, like child high, walking around. We're all seeing it. I'm in there with Bishop James Long, and I'm like, do you see this? Do you see this? It was like a green ball of glow in the left-hand corner of the Wall of Faces room. And he's like, oh, this chick's crazy. And he's like, I do see it. He's got an ovulus on. With headphones, and he's just sitting there simply not hearing anything, repeating what is said, and he's repeating, can't say it's a demon name, but the only thing I can go by is what I experienced, mm-hmm. and it was the flashlight would go on and off at will. The feeling you got, the we were there. Nick got scratched. You know, I don't know if they aired it on the show. We were there in an event, which is totally different. We watched him pull his shirt up, and we watched these scratches appear. It's like something out of the Sally house on his back. You know, there's no, and they got no, you know, come on. They're where they need to be. They got no reason to fake anything. I watched the blood come out of his back. You know what I mean? So, and it's just the feeling. The feeling, the charge is just so different down there in that well. And you have to remember, too, and I'll say really quickly, I know it's only an hour show, but Aaron, you know, blames his divorce on
Oh, yeah, him. Yeah. He, I was going to say that. I talked to him pretty long interview, I don't know, a year and a half ago maybe, and we ended up talking quite a bit about that because we were kind of trying to get at some of these underlying things and not just talk about, you know, all the exact same stuff that he always talks about.
Yeah.
And eventually he got around to saying that, yeah, you know, there's no question that he brought something home from there, and he wasn't, at that point, he wasn't really prepared for it, and he didn't really know how to handle it, and it really did impact his personal life, and it took him a while to get it sorted out, and he had to make some really, really conscious decisions. Can I live like this? Can I live under these kinds of conditions and with this kind of, shall we say, you know, unnatural goings on, or can I not? And he... In his telling of it, he said he made the decision that, yeah, that this is my calling and this is what I need to do,
right.
But that he felt he couldn't put anyone else through it,
right.
i.e. his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, the thing, too, and I'll say real quick, he was the one that enlightened me on the fact that you have to realize this place was a slaughterhouse. Not only was it a slaughterhouse, but a woman was beheaded, Pearl Bryant, never did find the head. Now, I'm not dissing witches in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, I believe we're all spokes in that wheel, and that cosmic wheel has to spin. But there is one of two rivers that flow, I want to say, behind Bobby Mackey's. They are the only two rivers in the country that flow in that direction. So could it be a ley line? Could it be a place where people, you know, where magic is easier performed? Or, you know, I'm not a witch, so I don't know the proper etiquette. But, you know, Bobby Mackey's is one of those places that, you know what, I don't know. I just, there are two places that really freak me out. Bobby Mackey's and Area 51. Mm. Not that I got in there, but I just stayed in a trailer outside Area 51. I actually couldn't sleep in the trailer. And I'm not one of those people. Man, I could sleep like an infant in Waverly. So... I don't know.
Well, in real quick, getting back to Bobby Mackey's, you know, Aaron's not the only person that has brought something home from there. I know Debbie and I were fortunate enough a couple months ago to get hooked up with a shaman. And he, you know, we were fortunate enough, you know, we did the sweat, and then they did a big ritual in our home, and, you know, Debbie had to call the police and say, hey, it's going to be loud, there's going to be drums, you know, according to the 1978 Freedom of Religion Act, you're not allowed, you know, you can't interrupt it, blah, 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 blah.
Which the cops don't give a crap.
Yeah, well, yeah.
They don't give a crap because, you know, nobody utilizes it, and so the Indian, you know, I don't know.
And,
I'm all about Indians now. But
and now we haven't been to Bobby Mackey's in, what, 4 years, I would say?
At least.
Yeah. And during this ritual that we had in our house, you know, they were doing their chanting and their drums and everything else, and I can't even get into what we experienced during the ritual. But
well, we shouldn't because it could hurt the shaman
and
we're
not
bring
gonna.
It back.
And we're not going to. But when the elders came through during the ritual, what they said was a big part of the problem that you're having in your home came from a place called Bobby Mackey's.
Huh.
Now, that's not to say they hadn't seen the show. But I will.
Deb, I don't think they.
No. I just want to put
we
both sides.
We weren't on the show, Deb, the Bobby Mackey show.
Well, I think we were flicked on there from the event. But my thing
well,
is.
Well, then you're
okay,
basically.
Mark, let me just please finish and do devil's advocate for 1 second. What I want to tell you, though, is these people asked for nothing. They came, spent all their time here. And we actually had to duct tape all the outlets, shut off the power. No cats could be in the house. We actually had our cats, 7 cats, locked in 2 cars. We had no dogs here, no animals. I mean, it was something, it was unbelievable because all the doors were locked in the house, all the windows were locked. You could literally hear people scattering, running. I swore at one point there were cops banging on the front door. I'm like, oh, my God, should I get that? Yeah, I mean, whatever happened in this house was real. And they were very direct in saying, well, you know what? You know, you got to pray as a family, and you have to, you know. And this is a good point I want to put out there. If you're into this, you really, you know, shouldn't drink. Because he said, you know, if you drink, it can come back. And I didn't realize, you know, like, a bottle of wine here and there or freaking watching Walking Dead, I'll get my 6-pack of Peroni. But, you know, it's, it's not a perfect life, but I think it was really good advice. And, you know, a lot of people think of Native Americans as like, yo, they're all alcoholics and this, but that's really not the case, you know. And these people did, even now, I mean, it's still here. We don't hear the knocking as much. Stuff still happens, but, you know, it's, you got to be really careful where you go and what you do. We had an invitation to do L.A. In the burial ground. Back in the day, I would have jumped on it. Now, there's no way. I mean, we had hours of talks with these people, and they're like, it is the nastiest stuff,
yeah. And
it is the hardest to get rid of. And there was one point that we did do burial ground, but at the time, we didn't realize it was. But, you know, I walk around with tobacco in my glove compartment because, you know, we were told if you leave tobacco, when you think about it, it's all native land.
Mm-hmm.
It's all native land.
Yeah.
So if you offer tobacco,
as an offering.
Yeah, they kind of use it. Money's no good to them, but they barter with it on the other side. It's almost like a jail. You know how cigarettes are like, oh, I have a pack of cigarettes? Well, you know, that's kind of the impression I got. So I'm never without tobacco.
But, yeah, we learned so much from them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just to say, the things we experienced during the ritual that they did at our house totally blew us away. I mean, you know, at one point there was so much banging going on upstairs that it almost felt like the house was going to come down. I mean,
well, it felt like an earthquake at some point.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, but
unbelievable.
But, you know, do I doubt for a second it was for real? Not at all. I absolutely know 110% it was for real.
Well, we were there. We were in the room.
No. I know. But
we
I'm just backing up my statement on Bobby Mackey's. You know, I'm playing devil's advocate here. But
okay.
Well, that makes me more interested in going down. I mean, it's not we are in Ohio, so it's not incredibly far away. It's just one of those things, you know, and any place can have this reputation. Some people go and have an amazing experience and
right. All
these things happen. Another person goes and, you know, maybe it's quiet. I respect that. I don't think that just because nothing happened to me or I didn't have an experience at a place that means it's not haunted. And I really don't care for people who label places.
Yeah,
that kind of drives me nuts, especially when these places may be dependent on donations and the paranormal community to maybe help keep their doors open. It really kind of drives me nuts, but you know that's what they do. And I know there's some issues going on right now with Ashmore Estates, and that kind of breaks my heart.
Where's that?
Ashmore Estates is in Illinois or maybe it's in New Jersey, where ghost hunters did an investigation there and nothing happened, and they labeled it not haunted.
Well,
and unfortunately,
well,
oh, yeah.
All right, you
yeah.
know what?
No, no,
I'm
no,
going
to
say
Mark,
something
Mark,
right
Mark,
now,
Mark,
okay?
Mark.
No,
yes.
I am going
to
say
oh,
something.
You need to.
Okay.
The thing of it is, It might not have been haunted for them because they didn't get any evidence.
Sure.
That's not haunted.
And that's
what Ghost Hunter says. They say, you know, that doesn't mean it's not haunted. They'll sit and talk to the families and totally explain. That doesn't mean it's not haunted. That just means we didn't find anything. The same with GAC. Zach does the same thing, you know, but I think it depends, too, on your approach, how many people you have in there, you know, what your intentions are. If you're going in there to provoke, I've said this many times, if I'm dead, I get it. I see the recorder. I know what you want from me. If you're going to provoke me, the last thing I'm going to do is talk into that recorder. You know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, it could just be we've done locations that, you know, the first time we were there totally blew us away with the activity. Then we go back a year later and you could hear a church mouse. It was so quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't.
Waverly is a great example of that.
We don't know what, you know, we don't know how this all works. It could just be the day. Whatever. What Debbie said, it could be the people that are there.
I think it has a lot to do with your attitude going in.
Well,
and I think it's the viewers, not so much even the TV shows themselves or the people on the shows. I'm not blaming Ghost Hunters for the Ashmore Estate thing. I think a lot of it is the people who watch the shows take everything they say to heart. That's the gospel.
Well,
that's the way it is. And a place like Ashmore Estates that just got hit by the storm and the roof came off. And, I mean, they're desperate right now. I feel bad for any historic place, haunted or not. And I just think it's a real tragedy. And people need to be, if they're open-minded enough to believe in the paranormal, they need to be open-minded enough to realize that different people have different experiences on different days at different times for different reasons.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you want to stay on at the end of the show, we do events across the country. We're working on 6 now. We're calling them con-cons. I would love to do something to help Ashmore. Because, you know, not only, you know, of course you Google and you see the history, and many of the places we go to we've been before, but, you know, the dead are everywhere. They are everywhere. And I tell people this, too, like, oh, I can't afford to go to these events, so what do I do? You know what? There's a lot of people that are missing people that are DOAs, you know. They want to talk. They have a story to tell. You know, I'm not saying go to the hood.
DOAs are like Jane Doe's.
Jane Doe's. I knew you were going to jump on that. I was just freaking waiting for that. But either way, I'm getting to a good point here. You know, you don't have to go. I don't like to do cemeteries only because I feel if there's one place they should rest in peace, it's in the cemetery. But, I mean, there's people out there that have been murdered, have a story to tell. Who knows, you could solve a crime, help the police, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do your homework online like that. You can't afford to go anywhere. I'm not saying go deep into the hood. I'm just saying if there's, you know, a murder in your, God forbid, your neighborhood, the outskirts, go there. If the body was found in a field, go there. I mean, we've got stuff that we believe is from Brianna Dennison, which was on America's Most Haunted. America's Most
Over
Haunted.
And over again.
There you go. And, you know, but we did get stuff, and it was the same voice. And it takes a while to explain the situation, but they are all over the place. And, you know, whether or not they follow us there, I don't know. I can't tell you that, you know. But, you know, there's different places have different vibes. Waverly, we've been blessed enough to be there 3 times. First time, crazy active. Second time, you have to remember, she restored all the windows, so they're renovating. And we got an EVP with a charity auction, and we heard a voice clearly. And then you hear me say something like, did you hear that? And then you hear a spirit say, she talked. In other words, they knew what we were there for, and they were like, we're not talking to you. Like, for some reason, they were really mad that day, and they were not going to talk. And a year later, we go back, literally the most active time I've ever seen Waverly. I mean, that's an hour show right there in the experiences we had. So
we had a great time at Waverly. The first time we went was when we were filming Paranormal Challenge, and that was a very unusual situation with the production people and the camera people, and it was
right.
a competition setting. It was just a little bit odd, the whole
mm-hmm.
experience. But we did get to do investigating, and we did have some incredible experiences. At one point, the camera guy that was sent with us, they became part of the investigation because they were verbally making noises. They were so shocked at what was happening. It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
You know, they had to be reminded that they can't be part of the investigation. They were like, holy shit, they were, you know, they were
yeah.
freaking out. And then we had the opportunity to go back last summer when there was no camera crew. It was just us.
Mm.
And it was a completely different feeling. And even in that short period of time, she had done more renovations. Tina's always doing stuff around there.
Mm-hmm.
But we still had incredible experiences. But this time, they were in different parts of the sanatorium. And it seems that they were with different spirits. At least that's what we could take out of it. So
right.
you never know. I mean, and especially in a place that big, a place like the Ohio State Reformatory, you guys have been there. I've been there. I can't even count how many times I've been there. I've been there so many times.
I love it there.
Yeah, and it's amazing. And actually, when I was there, when you guys were there, we were down in Solitary, and you were doing a group EVP session. There was a bunch of people. And I asked you to see if there was a spirit named Mike down there. And I guess you had already caught an EVP from someone named Mike, and then Mark had me ask the question, and sure enough, it went on. We were carrying on a little mini conversation with this spirit named Mike, and I believe that this is a spirit that I encounter every time I'm there.
Mm.
And I can't prove that. I don't know for sure, but
right.
it seems that there's an interaction with the spirit named Mike every time I'm at the reformatory. And unfortunately, I think this spirit follows my partner around because he seems to pop up in different places that she's at too. But I
right.
can't prove that. I don't know if that's for sure.
Right.
But the reformatory is an amazing place. And
mm.
that's the one place that I've never had something not happen. But
well, yeah. And the first time we were there, it without a doubt jumped into the top five most active locations that I had ever been in.
You should tell them about our own cell phone.
Oh, that's a great story. Tell us. I know
them.
The story, but tell us. It's great.
It was weird because
it was
the second night of the investigation.
And it was in like the basement.
Did you just hear her tell me the story? Am I imagining that?
You missed your calling. You should be a comedian. I'm just, because I can talk a lot quicker. My thing,
wow.
you know, we're all the way beneath where supposedly they would chain the prisoners in the wintertime,
hold
them
box.
Down, and they would freeze.
The
That's
hot box.
Mark.
Yeah.
You got the floor, Mark.
Yeah, no. We were investigating. It was Debbie, Aaron, and I. We had a group of people around us, and I remember it was the second night of the investigation. And the night before, I brought my phone with me, and then I decided the second night that I was going to leave the phone in the hotel room.
And plus, your phone wasn't even working right.
Right. My phone was, I was charging my phone. My phone was turned off at the hotel room, and I'm standing 18 inches away from Aaron. All of a sudden, Aaron's cell phone rings.
Now, you know Aaron knows enough after, what, 10 seasons now or whatever to shut his phone?
So, yeah. So, anyway, he grabs his phone and he's like, Mark, you're calling me. And I was like, dude, my phone is turned off at the hotel room charging as we speak. He said, no, look, he said, you're calling me. And I was standing right next to him. I didn't even have my phone.
I want to say somebody taped it. It's on YouTube somewhere.
Somebody said they have the whole thing.
Well, it does.
But to get even stranger, when we got back to the hotel, we found out that just about the exact same time, for no reason, the fire alarms went off in the whole hotel, and the whole hotel had to be evacuated.
Yeah, whether it was paranormal or not, that's different. But
no, but
I cannot explain that cell phone call. You know?
Well, no, because the phone was off and it was in the room. And I was standing, like I said, 2 feet away from Aaron when his phone rang. So.
And I'm not really sure if it was before or after. But, you know, Aaron, he's like, oh, my God, you're calling me. And, you know, I remember him separating people and saying, give him room. Come in here, guys, come in. And you could, I mean, it was freezing down there anyway. That's one thing about Mansfield. In the winter, it gets cold. But you could feel, like, drafts and, you know, like, drifts of air that would, like, encircle. It wasn't like wind. It was insane. The stuff we get with Aaron and all of them, it is just crazy. We're just, a lot of times we're blessed enough to work with Aaron, and we just get off the hook stuff, man, I'm telling you.
Whenever we get together with GAC, crazy stuff happens.
Yeah.
It doesn't
just when they
really
break us off into groups, now that darkness, you know, has a hiatus on their events, usually we get to work with Aaron, and it's just like, you're paying me to work with Aaron, really? Did I, like, die and go to heaven here? So we are very blessed.
You know, I'm really interested. You guys really are quite a pleasure to talk to because you are really funny. You actually remind me of my wife and I, but we won't get into that.
I hope not. God, just please stay together.
Talking over each other, you know, and supplementing each other.
That's
what we're doing. We're supplementing each other.
That's one way to look at it.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to get at, you know, which usually we sort of start with, is I'm really interested in what your basic philosophies are. Now, you seem to have a pretty clear picture of how all this kind of works and how it fits together, and I'm really interested in hearing that. In other words, you know, what does all this mean? You know, what is this communication going on, and how
you know,
is that going
that's
on?
That's a good question. I'm
going to
answer that. Mark is one of these people, and aggravates the heck out of me because I'll be like, the light bulb blew, or, you know, just like what happened before. And he'll be like, well, what does it mean? And I'm like, well, why don't you, like, you know, I don't know, talk to your angel, ask what it means, you know? A perfect example, my dog passed away. Right, since, you know, it's a long story, but, you know.
Our dog?
Mark, he was my puppy. But anyway, he asked, oh, my God, please. He was our dog. And, you know, this dog was closer to me than I think anybody in my life. I mean, he was glued to my hip for 6 years. Anything I did, any computer I went to. And either way, I was going to call him Gede, which is a voodoo, I guess, God, which is a God that can see into both worlds. If you see Gede, you'll usually see him in New Orleans. And he'll have, like, you'll see a skull with sunglasses. One lens will be punched out. Therefore, he can see into both worlds. So I was like, no. We couldn't agree on a name, so we called him Diablo. Well, after Diablo died, I cannot tell you how much I grieved. And, you know, I see a lot in license plates. But you have to understand, I ask to see. I say, God, every freaking morning I wake up. And not only am I Roman Catholic, I'm Hindu, I'm Buddhist, I'm any good vein in this plane. And so I'm behind the car at a red light, and I'm crying, and I see the license plate, Gude, spelled the same way, G-U-D-E. And I'm like, really? And, you know, we're having problems. You know, I think if you seek, you will find, and if you look for another piece for the puzzle, they will give it to you. But you have to look and you have to ask. The other day, we're behind a car. Now, we went to puppy school. We have two new puppies. They're 88 pounds. They're 6 months old. They're freaking monsters. They're beautiful dogs. We just took them to school. They're smart. They know all their tricks. The one thing they're not getting is housebroken. So we're behind a car the other day, and I make Mark take my camera. I'm like, take it. And I'll tail these people and take their license plate pictures. And the license plate was Drool 1. Drool, like, you know, if you drool.
Like
Newfoundland's drool.
He was a wet one.
You know, he would shake like Beethoven, and you have to clean your walls. And it was Drool with the number one. And I knew he's helping me housebreak the dogs. I just knew in my soul. I mean, you know. So So, I mean, I don't know. But to me, if you look for signs and you continue to look, you will, you know, seek and you shall find. I hate to sound stupid and religious like that, but, you know, but Mark's like, nah, I want immediate gratification. I want it right now. Explain it to me. And I'm like, you know, your guardian angel's got to be sitting there shaking their head like, shit, I'm working with her because he's just being a pain, you know?
No, I just, you know, there are signs, okay? I see things that I get, and then there's certain times when, you know, a couple things will happen, you know, in succession, I guess you can say. And, you know, I'll sit there and I'll say, you know, okay, I'm seeing these signs, but what are you trying to tell me? What does this mean? You know,
but you expect the meaning fairy to knock on your door and say, hey, here's a telegram. This is what it all means. And it's,
that would be nice.
It's part of your karma.
The meaning fairy.
Yeah, you know, that's what he wants. And it's kind of like, it's up to you
and your soul and your journey. It's my puzzle.
Right.
I understand.
Whether or not you want to exert the effort to put it together
I understand.
Well, I've got plenty of license plate pictures in my phone.
I'm too grounded, I think.
Excuse me, I need to leave and vomit. I'll be back.
I'm too grounded, I think, in the day-to-day, you know, how are we going to keep
the power Everybody got bills. Everybody got issues.
I am very blessed. But I'm the one, you know, I don't know.
Don't go there.
I'm the one that handles, you know, the things that kind of preoccupy.
You like football and, you know, those things that where you have a remote in your hand and you have 6 hours of EVP editing time. I don't know.
Anyway, but yeah, I am kind of like that. And you know, it would help, I think, if I took the time to try to put the puzzle together. But
Mark,
as of now, that's kind of hard to do for me.
Mark, do you have the same religious background as Debbie, or are you was your background Roman Catholic as well?
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
okay.
I went to Catholic school, kindergarten through eighth grade. I was an altar boy, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, but
this
kind of irks me because you say this on every radio show yet.
Well, it's the truth.
No, I know you were an altar boy, and you know this all happened, but. You know, I wish you were more spiritual. Not that I'm, you know, this goddess spiritual thing, but, you know.
So why does it irk you if I say that?
Well, because
I went to Catholic school,
well,
and it was the whole nine yards.
Well, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer probably went to Catholic school, too, but, you know.
Right, but this interview.
But if you're not applying
this interview is not with Jeffrey Dahmer.
All right, but what I'm saying is.
That was the question.
No. But what I'm saying is.
I did speak to Jeffrey Dahmer, though. Excuse me.
What's that?
I've been to the Jeffrey Dahmer childhood home where he committed his first murder.
Oh.
Really?
My friend bought it.
It's really weird because we know somebody that had an apartment, I believe it was, right across the street from where he lived when he did all of his killings.
In Milwaukee. Yeah, this is
in
the Akron area before the family moved. And what happened was we were invited to a Halloween party there. And, you know, we didn't, at least I didn't really think anything about it. Sure, you know, he's playing up all the spooky side of it. But, you know, it's a big party. And there's lots of people there and all this craziness is going on. People wearing costumes, having fun.
Yeah.
Drinking, dancing, going crazy, you know. And he's a musician, so they even had a room where a band was playing. So it was madness. It was really fun. But my poor wife, speaking of who is more and who is less sensitive, she had nightmares for a month, every night afterwards. And, you know, by the end of that night, I mean, we started off just kind of joking around, and I never felt anything while we were there, but by the end of that night, by the time we left, sure, we were drinking quite a bit, but she said, you know, I really don't feel right. And then, you know, when it was just night after night, and she had, I think, similar nightmares, you know, pretty much every night for quite a while. And she said, you know, there's no question where that came from.
Yeah.
That was probably all the people that died reaching out to her, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. Could be. And then we went back even the next year. He had another Halloween party.
Now, how the hell did you find this house?
Our friend bought it. Our friend who's a musician, actually a guy we had met through actually the last book I did, the Encyclopedia of Record Producers way back in the late 90s. And he was from this area, but his career had mostly been in New York. But he had come back here kind of, middle-aged. And this shows you something that's become a much bigger issue lately, or at least since I've been paying attention to it anyway, but it shows you how the laws are different in different states and even in different cities and counties, I guess, as far as disclosure.
Yeah.
This house was a beautiful place. It's in a real nice kind of upper middle class, it's almost rural, but you're still kind of suburban, and a very desirable place to be. And it had been remodeled, lots of new fixtures and furnishings and whatnot. Very nice place. And it was way below market value. And so obviously that sent up some red flags, and he started asking about it. And finally, I think he was literally signing the papers, and the realtor said, I do not legally have to tell you this, but I just don't want to have this on my conscience. This was the original Jeffrey Dahmer house, and he did, murder at least one person in this house, and he stored the body up in his, up in the crawl space above his bedroom. I mean, he was a teenager, it was terrible.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff. So, when we talked to him, he said he never had any issues with it, but I think, the more I talk to people and as we interview people such as yourselves and various investigators, and then also people who identify themselves kind of more really specifically as sensitives or mediums or whatnot, I realize that a person, I think, consciously or not, has a lot of control as to what gets through. And I think I have a lot of experiences. I mean, not really a lot, but I had some very, very kind of semi-traumatic, fundamental, what I could only describe as paranormal experiences when I was a kid, and I think I just shut it off.
Well, I think most kids do.
I just didn't want to deal with it anymore.
Well, I think, too, society says it's not real, and you're born as a baby with that soft spot in your head. That's your wide-open seventh chakra, your all-knowing chakra. As you grow old, the bone hardens up. Your parents tell you, oh, it's not true, you're not seeing it, and so you do literally not only mentally but physically shut down. And I think that that's the biggest shame of all. But, either way, we were thinking of selling our house now. we were thinking it might be a perk that it's haunted, but,
Well, it is sometimes. It can be. I mean, there's houses that I'm covering all these stories now because we have the Twitter account. I'm always trying to look for something to tweet about, of course, and I'm kind of following all the various paranormal related news, and it's fun. It's really interesting. I'm learning a lot, and I've cast pretty wide net. Anyway, in Hong Kong, they're charging a premium on haunted houses.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised.
I actually am, because I know, I don't know, Korean, whatever, but I know a few Asians, and they're really very respectful and fearful of the dead. So I'm actually pretty surprised with that.
Yeah, as we've talked to people, John, Teresa, your friend, we had on a couple weeks ago, he had some very interesting experiences in Asia. Where was he? Was he Thailand?
Thailand,
or Malaysia.
Yeah. I think he was in Thailand, because I said Taiwan and he corrected me. In Thailand, and it's just the culture there, the way they approach the dead and their belief in the paranormal is different than the westernized version of it. And I find that fascinating. Is a ghost different in the United States as it is in another country, or is it just our perception of it? So I find the whole thing fascinating.
It's a belief. No. It's a belief system, and I'll tell you why, okay?
No, but I have an interesting story.
I'll bet you do. Go ahead, Deb.
Well, real quick, I get my nails done. I'm not sure what type, where he's from, if it's Asia, you know, what part. But he's like, when I was a little kid, this guy does my nails, you know, and he goes, we used to, you know, it was Vietnam, and, you know, it was horrible, and, you know, we had no places to hide, no games to play, nothing. So he said, I would go with my friends, we were little kids, and take a little chip off a tombstone, and I would take a can and put it over the tombstone, and they would put their fingers on it, and it would move around like a Ouija board. And, you know, sooner or later, you know, everybody would get scared, and then the can would follow someone, and the can would jump off the table and, like, hit someone, and that would be the person that the ghost would be attached to.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I mean, you're talking, you know, these people had nothing. They were poor, no food, no games, no nothing. But, yeah, you know.
I think this was limited, this story. I mean, I don't think this was a widespread thing. It was a certain probably segment of society, you know, that was interested in that. And,
right.
and they're willing to pursue it. But, yeah, you're right. It's a very different and probably a lot more open relationship with the spiritual in Asia in the broadest sense. Hey, you know what? Talk about time flying. Oh my God, we've already gone 56 minutes. Hey, we have two EVPs from you guys. We have the Walk With Us and the Campbell Inn clip.
Yeah. Which one are you going to play first and we can kind of set it up?
The first one I have is the Walk With Us. I haven't heard it, though, so I'm just pretending.
All right,
real
quick. Well, this is mine, so. We were in a brothel, which in Nevada, they're still legal. Luckily, we're the only state that has them. What wife says that? But, you know, either way, we're in there. Had to go in during the afternoon because they have a buzzer system to where, you know, the Johns hit the buzzer, so we figured that would interfere with EVP. So it had to be maybe 3 o'clock in the afternoon. A lot had happened there. We had the lights go on and off. I mean, I don't get pictures. And this is back in the day when I had a camera with negatives. A lot of the pictures from this place are on our website. Milky ectoplasm, which I still have on the negative. You know, so. But I'm walking down there, and I didn't say anything. But you hear someone clearly say, "Walk with us." In the middle of it, I hear... what do I hear? Do you remember, Mark?
I don't remember what you hear.
No. It's walk with us. We have no one. Oh, no. I hear two spirits. I hear walk with us. Then I hear a different spirit come in and say, look. And then another, the same spirit finish and say, we have no one.
But there was a pause in between walk with us and then we have no one. And in the pause, I kind of hear footsteps.
I hear the word look.
Okay.
Wow.
Play it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. When I played it back, like, I had tears in my eyes.
It's very sad, and that's something. Gosh, we'd love to have you back on. There's so much to talk about. I'd love to get into more. You know what you think about what is life like for spirits? You know what's going
on
with those
them.
People?
I ask them every day. Do you guys work? What do you do? Do you have fun? Are you with your
friends?
Is
it like Beetlejuice?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I have so many questions. You know, and I jones for the next investigation because I keep charts, man. I keep these big poster boards with questions every time I think of something good for a good speaker.
You know, I'm really interested in how do they relate to each other? How do they interact? At the beginning of the show, you said something about layers, so I'm really interested how all this fits together. But we are running out of time, and we have another EVP. This is the Campbell Inn clip.
Okay, yeah, we were actually in the bathroom. There was four of us sitting in the bathroom, and you're going to hear me say something benign like, you know, Is it okay with you guys that we're in here trying to communicate or something benign like that? And you can hear a layered EVP, and it says, watch your step there, Marcus.
And it's funny because when I get mad at Mark, I call him Marky because he hates that. You know, I don't know if maybe they overheard me say that, you know, or not, but I thought it was funny when I heard it.
Well, let's hear it.
Okay, because in here, obviously that Marcus.
Ooh, I heard the Marcus. Let me play it again.
Play it again.
I'm doing okay because in here, obviously that Marcus.
Play it one more time.
I heard it.
I'm doing okay because in here, obviously that Marcus.
Ooh.
And I was just saying, are you guys okay with us being here?
Uh-huh.
And then I say another word, and that's where you hear, watch your step. It's layered.
I hear watch your step there, Marcus.
Yeah, so do I.
Okay,
good.
You know, it's amazing how the different EVPs come across differently. They sound different. Some of them, the sound of those are different than ones you might pick up with an analog recorder or one of the older digital recorders. Some are so clear. I've heard EVPs that are so clear, it's like you don't think they're EVPs. You're like, that's got to be somebody talking.
No,
and then
the first one from the brothel, the only thing we did literally was amplify it. We didn't touch it. It was right there. And I thought the same thing. And I'm thinking, who else was in the room? And I retrack it in my head. There was no one else there. I was walking down the hallway alone. And, I mean, I don't know why, but that happens a lot. We've gotten some excellent stuff from the Oxford Hotel in Colorado. Same thing. It was so clear. It was this lady say, help with me. I'm sick. And the only thing we did was amplify it. There was nothing. I didn't want to take anything away from it, you know. And it was just, I think sometimes, too, when you're alone, you're more accessible. Mm-hmm. And you're rolling and you're alone. And they see, I think they see you as colors. You have the right intention, the right aura. And you're there to help if you can. Who says we can? But, you know, and they're like, well, I'm going to talk to her. Wait one second here, you know.
Yeah, and not only that, it's like a lot of times, you know, the smaller group, the better, because it almost seems like when they realize that they outnumber you is when it's like, okay, you want to play now? Now it's game on.
Yeah.
And that's why we've started doing our own conferences, just Debbie and I, and we're just capping them off at 25 people.
Well, we are bringing Heather Taddy and Katrina Weldman on board.
Excellent. Well, yeah, that's for the one in, we're doing Pennhurst April 20th and 21st.
And I think we have 6 tickets left for that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And,
just plugging.
And the reason we're going back is because we did another one of our own conferences, I want to say last June, and the activity was off the hook. And so that's why we're going back again, like I said, April 20th and 21st. Real quick, I know we're running out of time. Our website is www.spirits-speak.com. If you're interested, you can go to the homepage. The banner, it says ConCon 6. Just click on the banner, and it gives you all the information you need to know about the itinerary and, you know, and everything like that, if anybody's in the area interested in going.
And
you know, that's where the information is. And also,
if you get on our subscribers list, you'll be the first to be notified of our ConCon events. We put them out to our subscribers about a week before, so you get first dibs. Also, we're doing this little tiny conference. It's called ParaFest 2013. It's in September, I want to say 6th through 9th. There's going to be the people from True Blood Supernatural there, Ernie Hudson, Chad Lindbergh, who we've worked with, and he is a freaking paranormal firecracker.
I love him.
Oh, man, he is freaking awesome. Him, his girlfriend, I mean, they are just amazing people. But we're going to be there too, so that's on our site too if you want to buy tickets.
Yeah, and then one more thing, we filmed another episode with the Ghost Adventures, which from what we hear is going to be airing in 2 weeks. So
not this Friday, next Friday.
Right. So if anybody's interested in that.
And we did it in a strip club that was once an old theater, so it was pretty amazing.
We got some crazy stuff.
I love old theaters. Well, we'll definitely look up for that. And also, I have the link to your website on our show page. So anybody who missed that, you can just go to the America's Most Haunted show page on Blog Talk. And there's a link. Just click on Mark and Debbie's name, and the link will come up. It'll take you right to Spirit Seek website, and all the information for their events will be on there. And we'll definitely be looking out for you on Ghost Adventures. You know, we're still recording, so it's okay that we're talking, even though it's not live. But I feel bad we didn't get more into the EVPs and things like that. So we'd love to have you come back on and talk more about the technique and about just doing EVPs and what people can do. But we could talk for hours for sure. And I'd love to talk to you more about Waverly and Bobby Mackey's, because, you know, Mackey's is probably going to go in the book. Waverly's in the book. Stanley's in the book. What else is in there? I mean, places that you have tons of experiences at, and I would love to find out more about that. So please join us again sometime whenever you have time. We really would love to have you back on.
I really enjoyed it. It was really great speaking with you.
Yeah, and not only that, too. It's kind of my high because I don't really record here in the house too much. And Mark's kind of a party pooper, so, I've got to do the bills. I'm like, no, there's somebody walked in the room. So this is kind of like rejuvenates me. So it's like we would love to do it again. Just Facebook us and we're there.
Excellent. Thank you
so
much. And definitely, I'll send you information about Ashmore. You can look into that. I know that I think the Booth Brothers might be doing some sort of event, but there's things going on. They're trying to get the paranormal community to join in and kind of help them out to save that building. Again, even if it isn't haunted, these historical places need to be saved. And so I'm sure they could appreciate any input, even if just spreading the word.
Oh, yeah, you know what? We know them, but I would be absolutely happy to help. So if there's any like page or anything like that, I'm more than happy to. I love those guys. They do the best for the dead, and they bring them dignity, which I think a lot of people don't do.
Very well said. Excellent. Well, thank you very much for coming on tonight. I'm Teresa Argy, the Haunted Housewife, along with my co-host, Eric Olson, with Mark and Debbie Constantino. Thank you for joining us tonight, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week.
Good night.
Good night.